Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. Today is September 23rd, 2024. My name is Hind Eldah, and I'm here with my co-host, Abdelmajid Awan. This morning, traffic was heavier than usual. I feel like there's traffic is getting worse by the week or by the day even. But other than that, we have a lot of news to cover. Did you read anything interesting this morning?
There's a very interesting news that I read that MGM Resorts, which is a very big resort thing in the US, they've applied for a gaming license in Abu Dhabi. So their CEO confirmed that they have applied. He was speaking at an event which is called the Skift Global Forum 2024. It was happening in New York City from September 17 to 19. So they quoted him, the event quoted him as saying that yes, we have applied, we've done it in Abu Dhabi. And Bill Hornbuckle, the CEO, he also said that the way it will work is the federal government in Abu Dhabi will approve it, we've applied for it, and hopefully we'll win the license there. And he also expressed optimism that I hope and believe this year we'll understand more about Abu Dhabi and the federal mandate and go from there. So it's one of the like biggest news coming out in terms of gaming. We've already seen that Wiln Al Marjan Island in Ras Al Khaimah is already developing the very first UAE gaming casino. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's see how this develops and if they get the license or not.
Yeah, let's move on to our main stories of the day. Israel shuts down Al Jazeera office in Ramallah. M&A activity dips by 10.4% in MENA region. MEA region in the first 8 months. Saudi tourism surges with 73% increase in visitors, and Iranian immigrant joins elite billionaire club after biotech stock boom. So the main headline that happened this weekend, I think most people have seen that the Israeli forces have shut down the Al Jazeera office in Ramallah in occupied Palestine. And they're shutting it down for 45 days. And they have also not only shut down the office, but also destroyed a former journalist, Shireen Abu Aqda's memorial. So she's been killed in 2022,
I believe. The coverage of this whole genocide.
During the coverage, she got shot. And of course, they had a memorial in Al Jazeera office, which was also destroyed yesterday. And this move, obviously, by the Israeli forces raises concern about press freedom in occupied Palestine, because a lot of people are saying, well, from the Israeli side, they're like, oh, we're shutting it down because of to preserve national security. But then from the other side, it's like, well, you're really shutting down one of the only independent news stations that actually cover what's been going on in Palestine. So it raises a lot of concerns amongst people.
It's not just Al Jazeera. It's a part of the broader pattern of restrictions that Israel is putting in the mm-hmm. occupied Palestine area. So it's a power move from them. They think that they can do it. But the good thing was that a lot of people came in support. And they said that independent journalism, and that's like the key to freedom of speech across the globe, that you need to have independent journalism. And closing them down for 45 days on the basis of national security, again, the same thing, that it's a power move. Mm-hmm. They think they can do it, and that is why they did it.
They also seized their equipment and documents inside the office.
So it shows that they're scared of something that Al Jazeera is doing, maybe. Mm-hmm. They're scared of the coverage that they're giving, and the whole world is knowing the reality of what is happening mm-hmm. inside that conflict region, and how the genocide is being carried out, and how everyday people are dying.
And so, this isn't the first time they closed down an office in Palestine. They also closed the Jerusalem office earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And so they argue that their reporting, Al Jazeera's reporting, threatens state security. But of course, I think most people see it as a part of a larger effort to curb independent journalism.
Waleed Al Umari, Al Jazeera's Ramallah bureau chief, he also said that he confirmed it, that this is happening, and he said the soldiers ripped down Shireen Abu Aqda's picture and destroyed the office's contents. So he confirmed that they also sabotaged the memorial.
There's literally video footage. Like, I was watching Al Jazeera yesterday, and they had the live footage of the actual storming going on. and you see the soldiers or the forces with masks covering their faces and like filming what's going on. So it's
Live actually. So they showed everything, whatever they did. So let's hope that this whole conflict ends soon. That's the only thing that we can hope for.
Let's hope other.
It's wrong to. To be honest, as a media person, we also work in a digital media house, Augustus Media. We also do journalism. We try to get the facts straight. We try to always see all the sides of the story. And it's very important in journalism to know the perspective from both sides.
Yes.
Both parties or both nations or whatever is there. You have to see or at least take comment from both sides. So they're doing that. They're presenting the real picture. And let's see, hopefully, something.
Let's see if other news outlets will condemn this action by the IDF.
Western media usually, they angle it differently. We've seen throughout the coverage of the genocide. This is now not even theory. It's stated fact. Everyone says that the language even that is used for the coverage of the Gaza genocide is so biased. So hopefully. The only thing that I can say is the conflict, the genocide being carried out by Israel ends as soon as possible in the region. And independent journalism basically, the good journalism, the people stories that are coming out of the region, they should go out more. And curbing the media is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Very straightforward, very clearly, it's wrong.
Yeah. So let's move on to the second story, which is more businessy. So M&A, mergers and acquisitions activity, dips by 10.4% in the Middle East and Africa regions in the first 8 months of this year. Now, it's been dipping throughout all regions as compared to last year. And so it fell by 10.4% here in this region and in Africa. And this shows how challenging it's been for like the broader global economic landscape, and it aligns with other regions, the declines in other regions. So North America experienced an 18.9% year-on-year drop. Europe fell by 16.2%. Asia Pacific down by 8.1%. I think that's the best one out there. And then South and Central America saw the biggest decline with 27.3% decrease in mergers and acquisitions. But globally, the deal activity dropped 15% year on year, amounting to 32,050 deals, and with mergers and acquisitions volumes declining by 9.5%. And venture financing and private equity transactions also suffered, recording 23.9% and 13.4% year-on-year declines, respectively. Now, it's interesting because I think over the past few weeks, we've been talking about how certain companies in this region have been merging or like have been involved in M&A activity, but we see that it's really not doing the best.
That's great, yeah. Globally, the numbers are falling down because of the whole global impact. There's a lot of conflicts and wars going on. Then the U.S. election is there. Mm-hmm. So that defines how the world will move forward because U.S. policy, U.S. Fed cut rates that we do the story on every day, they just dropped the interest rate by 0.5 and the whole world's markets went up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things going on which affect it. But the good thing about this is, the good part about this is that the savvy investors, the investors who love to take risks, their eyes have like shown up and they're like, okay, so whatever we could get for 10 million or 1 billion, now we could get it for a cheaper price because again, activity slowdown means that the prices of mergers and acquisitions, they also fall down.
So it's a great opportunity for those risk takers.
So they can always go into the market, buy it. If they see a potential in some product or in some service that they think is going to go big in the future, in the next 1 or 2 years, they can always buy it for cheaper. So it's low investment, but high risk at this point. So they can buy it for 5 million and maybe make more out of it. So it's a very interesting thing that will happen. We'll keep you updated on, obviously, how things pan out. But the good thing is UAE was the second lowest lot. It was in, the Middle East and Africa region was the second less affected region. Asia Pacific saw like 8.9 or 9% dip. MEA, Middle East and Africa region saw 10. but the globally it's very bad right now as compared to last year. Mm-hmm. So it's good. It's good for the Middle East and Africa region that they didn't do that bad. Mm-hmm. So in comparison, they did good.
Yeah. Let's move on to more exciting news or more happy news. So Saudi's tourism surges with a 73% increase in visitors and a 207% in revenue boost. Of course, Saudi Arabia has been doing excellent things to get more people to come. And so far this year, they've been quite successful in that. And they achieved a 73% increase in international tourist arrivals and also gained 207% more revenue from tourism, according to the UN World Tourism Barometer. It's funny because the barometer is like what you measure the air pressure with.
Yeah. They're measuring the tourism pressure.
The kingdom continues to lead the G20 nations in tourism growth, driven by its expanding tourist destinations. And I've been just, you know, whenever I talk with my friends, we're always like, we really want to go to Saudi Arabia because they're doing wonderful things. So, for example, it's not only just the new Riyadh or Jeddah, you know, they have like all those downtown places, but also the cultural places and the religious places. I think those really attract people because Saudi Arabia is very rich in culture and in history. So, for example, places like Al Ula have been seeing a lot of tourists going there for good reason. I mean, it's a very fascinating place. So it makes sense that they're really leading the way in tourism.
Yeah, and it's just not the main tourism. The Umrah and Hajj people, they also increased in a lot in the last years. So it's because of the facilities and the infrastructure that they keep developing and expanding. Mm-hmm. So they can now accommodate more and more people for that reason.
Yeah, they're always trying to build more hotels for, for all the Hajj travelers and the Umrah travelers.
Yeah. You go to Saudi Arabia near in Makkah near the Haram and you will see like still there are like 4 or 5 hotels being built. So they're trying to accommodate more people. They're trying to bring in more people. Mm-hmm. So that is one part. And again, hint said, cultural tourism in Saudi Arabia is booming. Mm-hmm. I went to Al Balad. It's like in the Jeddah. And the place is like phenomenal. You enter that place, they preserve the whole area as it is. So you enter and you're like, oh, okay, 500-year-old building of some trader who is a big name now. So 5 years, you see embassies in like buildings in small areas. You see, so it's like you move into the 80s and 70s.
Right.
You just walk in and you're like, okay, this feels like I'm like 30, 40, 100 years
old. In some places it's like that. And then in other places they're trying to move more progressively into like this.
That's the good part.
City vibes.
Preserving the original Saudi culture, the design of the doors, the design of the places and everything. And then they're building a completely new modernized area in that same city. Mm-hmm. So it's very fascinating to go there. Mm-hmm. And everyone is looking at that now. And the F&B culture is also growing. All the big hotels, cafes, they're opening up in Riyadh and Jeddah, mostly Riyadh. So that also gives them a lot of tourists who want to come visit from the Gulf region.
Yeah.
Because, for example, UAE, if they don't have a branch of something, actually UAE has a branch of everything, but from Qatar and Bahrain, if they want to enjoy some London cafe desserts, they don't need to go to London now. Mm. They can come to the UAE or go to Saudi Arabia. So food tourism is also increasing. Mm-hmm. And again, sports tourism. They're doing e-sports. They're doing, they're 100%, nearly 100% hosting the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So it will go up from here.
Yeah, so from the beginning of this year until July, the number of international tourists reached 17.5 million, and it follows a 56% increase in 2023, which brings the total arrivals to 27.4 million.
Nice.
Also, Saudi Arabia recorded a travel account surplus of 48 billion riyals in 2023. With tourists spending over 141 billion Saudi riyals on everything you need to, when you travel. So accommodation, shopping, and transportation. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So Saudi Arabia is going up. You should go there as well as soon as possible before more people come in.
Yeah. Let's move on to our final story of the day. So, Iranian immigrant joins elite billionaire club after biotech stock boom. So, Maki Zangane, who is the co-CEO of Summit Therapeutics, which is a biotechnology company, has joined the ranks of being in the billionaire club after the company CEO of Summit Therapeutics' experimental cancer drug outperformed a major competitor, and also the company's stock surged after the introduction of this drug. So she's 54 years old, and she holds just under 5% of the firm, which saw its market cap skyrocket to $17 billion following positive trial results for its cancer drug candidate, ivonescimab.
Yeah.
So anything related to cancer, I think, makes people enthusiastic, and so I think that's mainly why the stock surged.
Whenever you get good results from any medicine, and now the idea of moving from pharma, big pharma, to biotech is another new thing that's gripping the market.
New shift,
yeah, it's like fintech, all these tech. There's biotech now. They don't call it like pharmaceuticals or anything because they use a lot of technology in it and a lot of things that are new in technology, like AI and all the. So these all have been incorporated in finding out the results of the medicine. So usually it was like just a control group and the another group. Some people would be in the control group. They'll be given the medicine. The others won't be. So they would test and see. And now with the advancement in technology, they can see the results better. They can gauge the results better.
Yeah.
And this, again, very difficult name to pronounce, as you saw, ivonescimab.
Basically a cancer drug.
Yeah, a cancer
treatment.
Drug. So they're a good candidate. They beat, actually, Merck's blockbuster drug, Keytruda, which brought a lot of confidence to ivonescimab. So it shows that drug is doing good, and thankfully, Iranian immigrant in the US, she joined a very unique list. She's one of 34 self-made US women billionaires. So that's a very elusive group. Only one of 34 self-made billionaires. So that's a good move. A lot of people from this region are going, they're already there and they're making it big. And good story to come out of that an Iranian immigrant is doing that. Yeah. So that's all for today. We did discuss a lot of things. MGM, they have applied for an Abu Dhabi gaming license. So we'll see some update on that too. Ras Al Khaimah is already developing with Al Marjan Island. So maybe in the future you'll see something in Abu Dhabi as well. Israel shut down Al Jazeera's office in Ramallah. That was a direct attack on independent journalism. They shut it down for 45 days, saying it's a threat to national security. We'll see what happens next now. We'll keep you updated. M&A activity in the Middle East and Africa region. Usually we refer to it as MENA region, Middle East and North Africa region.
But this time
it's Middle East and Africa region. It dropped by 10.4% in this region. It was the second lowest. The biggest was in the US region.
In the South American region.
Yeah, South American region, nearly more than 25%. So that's good for the investors to just come in, buy stuff for cheap, buy services and products for cheap, and then maybe see them grow. Saudi tourism has surged 73%. Saudi tourism saw 73% increase in visitors, and they earned nearly 17.5 million. They earned 17.5 million tourists this year. And last, Iranian immigrant, we saw that she joined the billionaire club after the drug, cancer drug that is being developed by her company, did good.
Yes, so thank you everybody for joining us on the show. You can always find us on all these streaming platforms like Anghami, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Again, find us on all social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. We also have a daily newsletter that comes out with all the information plus more that we talk about on the show. So thank you so much for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you tomorrow.